Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey everyone, Bees with Ben. Interesting episode, talking with Sarah from Randox, and they do all sorts of testing on honey and various food items for that matter, from milk, wine, and obviously honey. Now, honey is one of the most fraudulent food items in the world. There's a lot of people overseas, not here in Australia. We're an honest, good bunch. But overseas, certain countries, they do a little bit of various shenanigans with the honey. And so we're going to talk all about Sarah, which is actually interesting, you know, hearing and talking to Sarah about, you know, things like testing for antibiotics and the various fructose levels and things. So very, very interesting. Hope you like this episode. The first question I asked Sarah was all about the business and regarding Randox and where they're from and all about the company.
So Randox is a global company. So they do provide diagnostic and also testing solutions across a number of different areas. So what I do food diagnostics and toxicology, but they have other areas such as like clinical and healthcare settings as well.
Oh, wow. Awesome. And so how did you get into the business? What were you, how long have you been with Randox for?
So I've been with Randox for over 3 months now. So I'm a dietitian and I've always had like a really big interest in food safety. So then like when this job popped up, I was like, this is perfect. Like I get to look at food and how to make it safer and everything like that.
That's awesome. So your profession, you're a dietitian for quite a few years?
Yeah. So I graduated in 2016. So that's actually gone very fast actually.
That's awesome. And now you mentioned obviously Randox is a sort of a global business. So I think did they originate in the UK? Is that when it first started?
Yeah, so they're in the UK. That's where their headquarters is. But yeah, they do provide testing solutions globally, which is really cool.
Awesome. Now, were they the first company to produce the PCR test for COVID?
I'm not sure off the top of my head if they were the first, but I know they're really big in the UK with COVID testing. So yeah, a lot of their tests. One of the importance at the moment is on the COVID testing. So I know they are very big over there.
Wow, that's awesome. And so dietitian, been with them for a few months. Now you're obviously, you know, the food diagnostics section, part of the business. So tell us about that we'll come back to the honey testing of honey soon. We'll talk all about that, what we can test for. But what about other foods? So give us an example what you guys do there.
Yeah, so with Randox Food Diagnostics, we have tests across a whole heap of different food products. So we have dairy, feed and cereal, meat and seafood, honey, and also wine. So each of the different like food groups have specific like contaminants and also compounds that they look for certain levels for. Some are due to like export requirements, some are due to food safety standards, and some are due to just like the quality of the food, like for wine, they test for certain compounds just to make sure the wine is actually at a good level and a high quality at the same time.
Wow. And milk. So what would you test for in milk, just out of interest?
So mainly antibiotics. So they do, like when milk comes from the cow and everything, they are treated with antibiotics for certain diseases. So they do wean them off it. So they do test to make sure that the antibiotics is out of the milk. In Australia, we do have certain MRLs that we have to have antibiotics under. So they do test to make sure that is under from there, because if we have too many antibiotics in like the food system, us humans, we can actually develop antibiotic resistance. So that's why they do test to try avoid these things as well.
Wow, that's incredible. So is it basically, milk, and once again, we'll come back to the honey in a second and sort of talk about that. But so I'm interested with the milk. So I grew up right next to a dairy. So I remember as a kid out in the Yarra Valley, you know, gorging myself on fresh milk, and used to wait for obviously for the cream because it was all raw, unhomogenized, and the cream would be on the top. And I think that's why I was a fat little kid. But so with the milk, so is there an acceptable level of antibiotics that's allowed to be within the milk?
Yeah, so with the MRLs in Australia, they have worked out the lowest level that they can have that's not going to cause any adverse effects on humans. So, as long as the milk is under that, it is safe for human consumption. Sometimes it's way too difficult for any certain antibiotic or antimicrobial to be at exactly zero. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a lot of food out there at the same time. But yeah, there is minimums that they can have at the same time.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. That's incredible. So with honey, so now we all know that, you know, there's a bit of shenanigans goes on overseas with honey, and I think there's about close to 40 different importers bring honey into Australia. So now I think honey is up there as one of the most fraudulent food items in the world. So tell us about what you guys do in regards to testing honey.
Yeah, so we have antibiotic, pesticide, and also honey quality testing with enzymes. So we have two different analyzers that companies can use in-house. They are really simple to use, so you don't need any lab experience to use these. So we have our evidence investigator that does test for antimicrobials. So we have six different tests for antimicrobials. So it does provide a full antibiotic profile. So you can test for everything there. In regards to their antibiotics, because they do use antibiotics on bees to treat bacterial diseases such as the foul brood, you just want to make sure that the levels are as low as possible so it doesn't go into the honey. There is also import and export requirements for antibiotics. So if they are importing or we are exporting, you do need a certificate to show that your honey is free of antibiotics. So that's why our tests are good. We can test for that too. Pesticides, you definitely don't want pesticides in your honey because they can cause adverse health effects to humans and also to the bees as well. So we do test for pesticides. And then we have all of our enzymatic tests. So this is run on our analyzer called the RX Masano. So the tests we have available on this is the diastase, HMF, glucose and fructose, and also honey color testing. So in particular, HMF, if you're testing for that, we can see an indication if there has been overheating of honey, if there's been poor storage conditions, and if there has been a possible adulteration with other sugars or syrups, our machine can pick up on that. So, yeah, it's important because all the consumers and, especially Australia, just want as close to a natural product as you can. They just want honey that tastes like real honey pretty much. So that's why testing for quality and also for safety is important.
Wow, Sarah, that's incredible. So I'm going to ask questions about each section now. You mentioned about testing for microbials. For those listeners, you know, what's a microbial in a honey, and, you know, why do we test for those?
Yeah, so there are a whole heap of different antimicrobials that you can test for. So some of your antibiotics, so just say your streptomycin or dapsone, there's a whole heap of different ones you can test for, or your chloramphenicol as well. You pretty much if the the antibiotics are being used on bees, we can test to make sure that it hasn't gone through to their honey as well, and just to make sure that that the honey is free of antibiotics too, so it doesn't come through into us from the food system too. And because a lot of honey does need those export and import certificates to be actually sent to overseas or come into Australia too. So that's why it's important that we do test for these antimicrobials.
That's absolutely interesting. So with the antibiotics, because, you know, there are beekeepers that use antibiotics in Australia, and as you mentioned, spot on, with the American foul brood, so you mentioned obviously with import and export, it's got to be zero antibiotic levels, but is it correct in saying if it's for local market, it's allowed to have a certain percentage or milligrams per kilo, whatever, within the local market? Is that right?
I'm not too sure off the top of my head for local market. I know that there's no set low levels for honey for antibiotics. So there isn't a specific level that they do test for. It is quite impossible sometimes to get it to zero sometimes. So there is like minimums that they can have.
Yep.
But yeah, there isn't in Australia, there isn't no set MRLs for honey. So it's interesting to know, like if you're not testing for it, you're not sure if, like what the levels are in it for there too.
That's interesting. And so you mentioned as well with the in-house testing. What's that device? Like, is that a device we can, you know, as beekeepers, you know, because a lot of commercial beekeepers listen to this podcast. So is that a device that they can buy and how does that actually work?
Yeah, so it's pretty much like an instrument. So it's like a device. It's like a benchtop device. It's semi-automated. So pretty much you just quickly prepare the sample, put it into the instrument and then you get the test results. So it's quite easy to use. And on our RX Masano, you can even have like your favourites menu, your favourites test. So you quite easily can quickly do that at the same time. Using it in-house, it does save you like a lot of time and a lot of costs as well. So with our evidence investigator, you can test for 45 samples in under 2 hours. Wow. So that's our one that does the antimicrobials and the pesticides. And our RX Masano, you can do 10 samples in less than 1 hour. So it is quite fast. You get your test results there and then, and you can just continue testing as you like. You don't need to wait around for test results to come back. And it is a lot cheaper because a lot of labs do confirmatory testing, which is quite expensive at the same time. So having your own machine is just convenience and saving you a lot of costs and time at the same time.
That's amazing. And so what about costing? You know, I mean, because beekeepers can be pretty frugal when it comes to spending money. To tell us about sort of the rough sort of ballpark costing on these sort of to that sort of DIY type device.
Yeah, I can't give a ballpark for like each to suit each beekeeper off the top of my head. It all comes down to the volume of like honey they are producing, the amount of testing they do. Some beekeepers might do weekly testing, some might do monthly testing, some might do 6 monthly testing. So it's hard to give a ballpark there. Yeah, but once you have the analyzer, you can buy the tests as you like. We get the tests shipped over from the UK. So we get shipments every 2 weeks. So it is quite convenient. You can have your tests come over and then test as you like. And then if you need to order more, you can just let us know. We can send more over.
That's amazing. And sorry, Sarah, the price, what's a ballpark price?
We quote each customer differently. Okay. So I can't really give a ballpark price at the moment. It's all depending on the individual at the same time and like what instrument they choose, what test they choose. But yeah, if anyone is interested in price, I'm happy to talk about what their requirements are and get them a ballpark price from there.
That's awesome. And what I'll do in saying that too, so I'll put the website in the show notes. So anyone wanting to sort of find out more, because you've got a really good website and obviously a section which is specifically on honey testing. So as you sort of mentioned, and you mentioned obviously about with pesticides and herbicides, because that can be, you know, a real problem with bees, you know, getting these little micro doses of, you know, like things like the first one that comes to mind is Roundup as well. So that's really good that you guys test for those.
Yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, we only recently brought out the pesticides test. And we're like, when I was learning about bees and honey testing and pesticides, like, I didn't realise that pesticides can do damage to the bee's brain and they can forget floral scents. So I was like, there's so many implications for pesticides. So definitely good to test for them at the same time.
Exactly. That's it'd be interesting to, you know, grab some honey, you know, I mean, off the shelf and sort of see if it's sort of tested. Because so would I'm not sure if it's a question you can answer, but would all the honey we see on a supermarket shelf, that would be all tested? Would it, or is it done in sort of various batches? I'm not sure if you can answer that question.
I'm not too sure. Like speaking to like numerous honey companies, they all do very different testing. I know some do regular testing, so they know the ones that they do supply to the supermarket that is tested. They know the levels in there and everything else. But yeah, I'm not too sure about because there isn't really a standard how many tests that they need to do at the same time. So yes, it could be interesting if you took all the honey off the shelves and did a test. But yeah. That would be interesting.
It would be interesting. Yeah, it's probably could be a little bit controversial too.
Yeah.
Which would be, very interesting. Now, you mentioned too, Sarah, about testing for sort of sucrose, glucose, fructose levels. So tell us about that, because you also mentioned just before about, you know, if the honey's heated, we actually see a change in those sugars. So, yeah, tell us all about that.
Yeah, so with the glucose fructose test, you can test for the ratios of this. So it can actually help predict the tendency of the honey to crystallize. So you can look at that test and work out, like, is it likely to crystallize, the honey quality of it as well. So it provides, like, good information. It can give you valuable information about the source and also the floral origin of the honey too, which is really interesting.
Wow, that's amazing. And so are you guys the only ones testing for these various components within Australia?
In Australia, there are labs that do honey testing. From what I know, there isn't a lot of instruments or analyzers on the market that companies can use to do their own in-house testing. So, like, a few companies I've talked to, they do send their honey off to labs to get tested. Not many in-house analyzers, but it does provide a lot of convenience, so that's why it's good to talk about it, get the word out, so it can try and provide some convenience and save some time and cost for some other beekeepers at the same time.
Exactly. And once again, as I mentioned, so I'll put in the show notes the website, because it's a really, really good website, and for people to sort of, to check that out. And what about Manuka honey? You know, so Manuka honey has this magical ingredient. Obviously, we've just been at war with the Kiwis in regards to that name, Manuka, and it looks like it's been in the High Courts of London, and they wanted to trademark that name. It's kind of a little bit like, have you heard of a Chinese gooseberry, Sarah?
No, I haven't. What's that?
It's actually interesting. So a Chinese gooseberry, a lot of people haven't, is actually a kiwi fruit. So, okay. Yeah, so it's actually, that's the name, and that obviously New Zealand, which they're our buddies anyway. We just have this sort of ongoing little thing with cricket and rugby and obviously Manuka honey. But it's interesting that they made, you know, obviously the word kiwi fruit. Now they tried to trademark the name, very controversial, because obviously Manuka is a Maori word. Obviously we've got, you know, over 70 species of leptospermum, which obviously produce Manuka. And so it's been a bit of backwards and forwards. Now, what about, you know, the testing for, you know, the methoxyoxal levels in Manuka? Do you guys do that?
Not currently, but we are always looking to add more tests to our profile as well. So if there is a demand, if there is popularity for these tests, we can definitely look into adding those tests, because our machines are quite flexible. You can tailor the test to our machine and, like, get them ready for customers to use as well. So definitely Manuka is very popular. So I think in the future we will have Manuka testing. Our Alex Masano and our tests can use Manuka honey for our tests that we do have on offer. But it'd be good to add more Manuka honey tests to our profile at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be so cool, because obviously this whole sort of Manuka madness and different levels and things. Some beekeepers have, you know, sites. I know in Victoria near the Grampians, there's sites there that produce an active Manuka. So it'd be very, very interesting. And what about the fowl broods? Do you guys do that as well, or looking into that?
Not currently. So by testing for antimicrobials, we can test to see if the bees have, like, been treated against the fowl brood. But we don't have a specific test for the fowl brood. But then again, if there is the demand in the market for this test as well, I'm sure this is something we can look into and get a test for as well.
That's awesome. And whereabouts is so obviously the company sort of originated in the UK. So where's the labs in Australia? Whereabouts are they located?
So we don't actually have any labs. Oh, so we provide, we provide the companies with their own instruments, with their own tests, so they can do it themselves pretty much. But, yeah, we do have a head office in New South Wales. No labs. It's always interesting explaining to people. They're like, oh, where are you located? And I'm like, no, you can do the testing. So, yeah. But we do have, if someone does buy any of our analyzers or tests, we can get someone to come over and train them how to use it and everything like that. So there is a lot of support and a lot of service, even though we are located in Australia and our headquarters is in the UK.
Wow, that's interesting. So, yeah, I like that. You can actually come out and sort of train, you know, as you said, it could be milk or wine or obviously in our case, beekeepers, how to test for the various things with these devices. So that's really, really cool. Is there, can I ask, I don't know if this is a bit of a controversial question, but is there anything stopping? Let's say, okay, I've got some honey that I've cooked and it's full of antibiotics, terramycin, and I've had my bees, you know, with plenty of pesticides and herbicides, and my honey is just complete yuck. Can I do a test, and then how do I prove that I've done the test right?
So as long as if to say we're using our analyzers, our analyzers are connected to technology and PCs, so you can print out a report. We'll have the actual quantitative numbers of the levels of what's in your honey as well. So if someone was to question your honey, if they're like, oh, I'm not sure about this, you can print off the report and show them the levels on there. Our technology is very accurate, so we do get very similar results to that of confirmatory testing as well. But, yeah, if someone was to send their honey off to a lab, the lab would provide them with a certificate as well. So it's kind of just having that actual information, knowing the levels as well. That's how you can show what's in your honey pretty much.
Yeah, it's like what you said, you know, there's no cheating because it's all connected.
Yeah,
that's important because, you know, there are people, you know, who cheat the system. It's so that's interesting. And now your job, obviously, they've been there for a few months. So talk us about, you know, your day-to-day. What sort of, you know, what are you doing at the moment? So what's your day-to-day sort of job, Sarah?
Yeah, so pretty much what I'm doing at the moment, calling companies across the different product groups to see like what testing they currently do, if they'd be interested in our tests and using our analyzers as well. So I got in contact with you. I saw your website. I was interested to hear if you do any testing, and then you're like, yo, you can come on my podcast. So yeah, it's kind of just reaching out to different people, finding out about their testing, whether our products suit them, how often they're testing. So it's very interesting, like meeting different people. Everyone in the honey industry is so lovely and so chatty, so I definitely do love honey.
That's funny. So we are a good bunch as beekeepers.
Yeah.
We're not sure about those people that produce milk, those dairy farmers. They can be very odd and a bit strange, but that's all right. That's what happens when I get up, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk a cow. We don't have to worry about that. That's funny. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I was going to say, do you mind if I put in the show notes your email address, Sarah?
Oh, no, of course. You can add that in. I'm happy if anyone that's listening, if they have any questions or like more information. We do have brochures we can send with more information about what testing we have available. I'm happy to set up meetings as well, any phone calls. So, yeah, absolutely, you can chuck my email address in.
That would be awesome. So what I'll do is I'll pop that in the show notes. Anyone want to get in touch with Sarah, you know, and hear more about this, because this is a really interesting thing regards to honey testing. A quick little story. When I was over in Appomondia, which Appomondia, Sarah, is like a massive beekeepers convention. It was what was it, 3 years ago in Canada, Montreal. And there was a honey testing there. Honey competition there, and what they did, they had to test the honey. Now, 46% got taken off the competition because it was, they used the word, it was adulterated in one form or another. And as you just mentioned, it was, you know, things like, you know, antibiotics had that in it. So I was real, and that could be, you know, unknowingly. You know, I think some of the pollen supplements from overseas, or the pollen might have been coming from certain countries that wasn't quite kosher as such. So really interesting. So 46%, almost half the honeys from the competition got taken off. So that's why I think it's
important. Oh, wow.
I know, amazing. And I think that's why, you know, beekeepers listening to this, you know, we've got a resource to know, you know, about the honey, because if you might be a honey packer, you know, and you're reselling honey. So it's really, really cool to know, you know, there's options here, and also do it yourself, you know, which is these little devices which we can do, you know, do at home or our farms or in our sheds or whatever. So that is absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah. I really appreciate it. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. We'll have to, have you actually, before you go, have you seen inside a beehive?
Pardon?
Have you ever been inside with a beekeeper and had a look inside a beehive?
Not from memory. Like, I think I've seen it from like a distance, but like not close up.
No worries. Well, if you want to, because you're obviously you're based in Melbourne, so if you ever wanted to check out a beehive, let me know and I can sort of show you sort of the workings of a beehive. So that would be
awesome.
Yeah, no worries at all. Well, thanks again, Sarah. You take care, and really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me again.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
How awesome was that episode? Thank you so much, Sarah, for your time. And what a cool, interesting job. You know, being from a dietitian to now working, you know, with the food industry for various testings, you know, and hearing about, you know, the antibiotics. You know, people, you know, some beekeepers use antibiotics. Very controversial. It's one of those things that does happen and no one really talks about it, but you can actually test for it. So I thought it was really, really cool. And obviously testing for various chemicals, you know, pesticides, herbicides, which was interesting. And I thought it actually was like a lab where we can send our honey to the lab and get tested, but it's actually these various handheld devices which we can do. So, and wouldn't it be interesting, as I said in the podcast, you know, was talking with Sarah, if we could actually get some honey from, you know, from various shelves, from various supermarkets, and test to see what it's like. I'm sure it'll all be fine, but wouldn't that be interesting to see those results? Because, you know, there's certain acceptable levels, you know. So, and also too, Sarah mentioned, I thought a takeaway note from this podcast was about the heating of the honey, how that changes the various sugar levels, you know, those sucrose, fructose, glucose. So those levels that actually happen. So very, very amazing. So big shout out to Sarah. Thank you so much for your time. Awesome job. Really, really appreciate it. And don't forget, if you want to hear someone, you want to hear a subject, let me know. I can track them down. I can find them. I'll do my absolute best. And really appreciate your time listening to this podcast. And don't forget, look after yourselves, look after each other, and of course, look after those bees. Until next time, bye for now.